There are multiple fires burning in the Amazon rainforest right now, and Brazil's state space agency says there have been more than 74,000 fires there this year alone. The Amazon is nicknamed the lungs of the planet because it produces a big chunk of the world's oxygen, and there are concerns about how the fires can affect climate change. Ruth DeFries is an ecologist with Columbia University. Ruth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Well, people are sharing dramatic images of these fires in the Amazon right now. Can you put it into context for us? How bad are they this month?
Well, it is dramatic what we are seeing in the Amazon. There are fires that are occurring, and we can see those fires from space, from satellite data. These fires, it's important and different than what we think about in our own American West, that these fires are caused by humans. In the American West, the fires that we've been having are because many human-caused reasons, but also those are fire systems. So fire is a natural process in those systems. In the humid tropical forest, like the Amazon, those fires are not natural. There's some human intent behind it, and that intent is most likely a clearing of land to make way for agriculture.
This kind of land clearing for agriculture has been going on for some time. Is it speeding up? Is it getting worse now?
Well, it has been going on for some time, and if we look back to the early 2000s, there was a peak of deforestation and fires, even higher than what we're seeing now. The fabulous success story of Brazil is, after that peak, the Brazilian government, both at the federal, state levels, environmental groups, companies looking at their supply chains, all came together and put in place very effective policies to reduce that deforestation. So there was a peak 15 or so years ago, and that dramatically declined. And that was an example to the world that it is possible to put in place policies to get deforestation under control while becoming an economic leader. Brazil is an agricultural powerhouse. What we're seeing now is a reversal, an uptick in the deforestation and fires that are related to them.
Can you talk about the kind of vicious circle this can create? People intentionally deforest and burn things down, and I understand that may make those lands then more vulnerable to future fires?
Yes, that's absolutely right. There are many different impacts of the fires. One is on local air quality, and we know about that. In this country, that the smoke from the fires travels in the atmosphere to population centers, and people end up breathing that unhealthy, hazardous smoke. That's one impact. Another impact is on our global climate. So the Amazon forest is a bank of carbon that absorbs and stores the carbon dioxide that we emit into the atmosphere. So as we lose that carbon store, the carbon enters into the atmosphere and contributes to global warming as a greenhouse gas. In addition, as you mentioned about the drying, the Amazon forest or forests in general are great circulators of water. They pull up water from the depths and circulate it and generate rainfall. So to the extent that we lose the forest, we are creating conditions where it can be a vicious cycle, where it becomes drier, and then the less forest there are, the drier it is, the longer fires burn, and the longer they can burn out of control and reach adjacent areas, and that is that kind of vicious cycle.
Talking to Ruth DeFries, ecologist at Columbia University, looking at the fires in the Amazon rainforest. Ruth, you mentioned that peak 15 years ago, then things got better until now. What did we see when it came to recovery? Does the rainforest recover in those border areas where there's been burning?
Well, it could if the burning is not too severe. If the system doesn't change, there's many scientific studies about the forest system along that fringe of the Amazon becoming more savanna-like with lots and lots of burning. So if it tips over into that kind of system, then it would be difficult to see a recovery. But the Amazon has been used for a long, long, long time. It's, you know, we think it's pristine, but it isn't really. It's been used by lots of different people, and our ecosystems are marvelously resilient if we allow them to be.
Speaking of ecosystems, can you talk about the species diversity that is at risk when we lose lots of Amazon rainforest?
Yeah, so tropical rainforests, the Amazon being the largest in the world, are homes to many, many, many different kinds of species, insects, reptiles, mammals, plants, many different kinds of species. And most of those species are not even yet identified. So when we lose the habitat for those species, we don't even know what we're losing when, by the time that they've been lost. We don't know what we're losing in terms of their value for medicinal purposes and also just for the value of life on this planet.
Are you worried that this is a new trend that we're seeing backsliding now against that progress you had talked about for the last decade or so?
Well, I think what is very concerning about what's going on now in Brazil is the refuting evidence and science and what the Brazilian scientists themselves are saying. So Brazil has a very well-established, well-regarded, long-term, decades, very good system for monitoring their deforestation. And that's come under question. The integrity of that system has come under question. And that's, you know, if we don't have a way to see what's going on, then it's difficult to put in place policies to control it.
What are you watching for now as these fires go on and in the years to come when it comes to the potential for losing even more vast tracts of rainforest?
Well, we have satellite data. We have good ways to observe what's going on, and there will be many scientists who will be looking at the trends in the fires and the area that's deforested. So we do have ways to track that.
What would you say to people who feel like, you know, this is a distant story on another continent, not really that relevant for people here in the United States?
Well, the extent to which the loss of the forest affects the global climate, then it really does affect all of us as our actions and our use of fossil fuels and all the ways that we contribute to climate change contribute to climate change that everyone is feeling in other parts of the world. So it's a global issue. So every single person on this planet is part of it.
And you mentioned earlier that it took an effort, international governments, Brazil itself, companies putting pressure on to stop that last wave of deforestation. Are you hoping to see that kind of response again?
Well, I can't say what how the politics go. We know the winds of politics can change quickly. But what we do know from what happened in the last decade was that it is possible. That it is feasible to put in place these policies and with investment in agricultural management and improving yields, that those policies that reduce deforestation do not need to infringe on economic development. So the common notion that it's a either or, I think what we saw in the last decade was that that does not have to be the case.
Ruth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Ruth DeFries, ecologist with Columbia University. She was with us today to talk about the fires burning in the Amazon rainforest in Brazil and what the fires could mean for climate change. Umar Irfan covers climate change, energy, and the environment for Vox. He's also a contributor to Science Friday. His latest article is titled, "Wildfires Are Burning Around the World. The Most Alarming is in the Amazon Rainforest." Umar, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we move on to look at the rest of the world, we were just talking about the Amazon rainforest. Talk about the importance of this one in particular before we move on to other wildfires.
Sure. The Amazon, as a giant forest, is a huge reservoir of carbon. And as your last guest explained, this, when it burns, it has global consequences. And that's why it's so alarming. And also, this is a rainforest, which gets moisture much of the year, even in the dry season. And so it's not really something that burns without human intervention. And that's why this is so alarming.
Now, that's the one that's getting a lot of attention now. You wrote in a couple of recent pieces looking at fires going on around the world. Can you take us to some of those places where we're seeing a big, maybe bigger than usual fires?
Yeah, that's right. We've seen fires recently spark in Turkey, in Greece, in the Canary Islands off the coast of Spain, and even in Siberia and in Alaska. Now, it's important to remember that unlike the Amazon, wildfires are a common part of the natural ecosystem in many forests around the world, including the ones we just mentioned here. But what's unusual is the scale and the timing of them this year. The wildfire season in Alaska usually does not go this long. And in Siberia, where we've seen a fire in what's the world's largest forest, it's approaching a record area burned right now.
Do we know why in places like Alaska and Siberia we're seeing these larger, more extensive, and longer than usual fires?
Well, one of the underlying changes that we are seeing is, of course, the climate is warming. We just came out of the hottest July on record. And that, remember, is a global average, not just the northern hemisphere where it's summer right now. So a consequence of all that heat is that a lot of these forests tend to dry out. Now, looking in various regions, there have been some studies looking at western forests in the United States, for example, that have found that a significant portion of the drying in the forest is due to human-caused warming. And that's one of the factors. Another factor is that humans are interacting more and more with forests. As populations grow, people are moving into what's called the wildland-urban interface, and that increases the likelihood of an errant spark or a downed power line or even arson deliberately starting these giant fires.
So climate change in and of itself doesn't start a wildfire, but it sounds like climate change is making them more likely and bigger.
That's correct, yes. But it is fair to say that humans in general are contributing to the scale and destruction from these fires.
Is there a worry about a cycle, as we talked about a little bit with our last guest, but a different cycle that, okay, climate change is making these wildfires more likely, but the impact of the wildfires is making climate change happen faster?
Yes. I mean, forests are an important reservoir of carbon. They take in a lot of carbon dioxide on a regular basis. Now, as I mentioned earlier, yes, there is a natural burning cycle in many of these forests, but because these fires are burning so much hotter and so much bigger, that cycle is being thrown off balance, that we're seeing longer periods of time of recovery for the forest, but that we're also seeing, you know, massive back-to-back fire seasons. You know, California, which we've seen in recent years, has seen, you know, record fire seasons back-to-back in 2018. I mean, the largest fire happened, and then before that, the largest fire was just earlier that year. So these massive blazes happening in such a short, compressed time frame is kind of unusual and is pretty alarming if we're trying to limit, you know, human-caused warming in the next few decades.
Umair Irfan is with us from Vox. He covers climate change, energy, and the environment there. We're talking about wildfires, dramatic pictures coming out of the Amazon rainforest, a renewal of big wildfires there, most of which have a human cause, but also a lot of places around the world. Let's dig into some of the ones you mentioned. Places like Turkey and Greece, I'll admit, Umair, I don't think of as heavily forested or wildfire prone. Could you talk about those fires in particular?
Sure. There are fires that do occur in those areas. I mean, last year, Greece had some pretty deadly fires that started spreading, and they believe that those were caused by arson. But in the Mediterranean region, I mean, yes, it tends to get very hot, but it also, this year, it's been also pretty dry. And so the normal cool moisture that comes off the coast hasn't really been moving inland, and a lot of those forested areas and vegetation has been drying out. And again, these are areas that are also increasingly becoming more densely populated. And so as the populations increase and people encroach on these wildlands or move building closer and closer to forests, the likelihood of an ignition event just keeps going up.
Another damage from these wildfires is that people in populated areas, places like Sao Paulo, say that are feeling the smoke coming from these fires, their quality of life, their air quality is being affected pretty heavily. What do we see there?
Right. I mean, we've seen some images on social media of people posting, you know, water that's accumulated from their roofs that's turned black. They saw the sky turn gray in the middle of the day on Monday. And the ash and the smoke from these fires is definitely reaching the coastal areas, and we can see that through satellite images. The air quality is actually one of the most significant impacts of wildfires. When you have millions of people breathing in dirty air, that can cause a spike in emergency room visits in the near term, but over the long term, it can take years off of people's lives. And that's an effect that we won't see fully until, you know, the dust settles on this one and we look at the health data a few months from now.
Now, this the Amazon fires in particular are turning into an international political issue with criticism of policies in Brazil coming from world leaders. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, French President Emmanuel Macron, you know, basically tweeted out that he said that this is an international emergency, that this is a catastrophe. And his government is basically laying the blame on the government of Brazil for allowing these fires to happen. He says that now he's going to bring it up or put it on the agenda for the international G7 summit that's happening in France this weekend. The President of Brazil, meanwhile, basically told the President of France on Twitter to butt out of this, that this is not an issue that concerns him, and that, you know, this is something that is an internal matter for Brazil. So it is becoming an international issue. I mean, other countries are taking notice and they want action from the Brazilian government to combat these fires.
And in Brazil, we've had a change of government recently and a change of policy when it comes to development on of the rainforest, removal of parts of the rainforest. What has been the impact there?
Right. We saw since last year an 84% increase in the number of wildfires and a more than 80% increase in the amount of deforestation. And that, I think, can be attributed to the political change. The government of Jair Bolsonaro has, overtly, because covertly or tacitly given approval to exploitation of the forest. He's openly talked about, you know, being a nickname that he's picked for himself as Captain Chainsaw. He talks about, you know, clearing land for mining, for oil extraction, for farming, and also for the timber industry. He thinks that this is a major monetary asset that he wants to exploit for the benefit of the Brazilian economy.
And this can be difficult for so-called first world countries to bring up, because a lot of times a developing country will say, well, hold on, we're just doing what you all were doing 100, 200 years ago.
That's right. I mean, this is Bolsonaro himself has said that France's interest in the rainforest is neocolonialism, that, you know, this is not anything of your concern, and that, you know, these developed countries have exploited their natural resources for a long time. But the Amazon is kind of unique. It is so vast in its scale that a lot of countries say that this is a global asset, both developing and developed countries, that they want some sort of mechanism to help keep these forests intact. And there are some programs that are in place internationally that will help, you know, take money from developed countries and pay people with forested regions to help preserve them or to help restore forests. And that's going to come up later in September when the United Nations gets together and they're going to be asking countries to ramp up their ambitions on fighting climate change, and helping people preserve forests is one of the key tactics that's likely going to come up.
Are there other parts of the world that you're watching, Omer, that might not be having wildfires right now, but they might be the next step in this story?
I mean, it's still important to pay attention to California. I mean, they've had a slower than average fire season this year, but it's still been pretty warm and dry in California, and the fire season still picks up in the southern part of the state in the fall. That's when the coastal winds start picking up, and so that concern now, I mean, there still could potentially be a major fire season there where they're not out of the woods just yet.
And you mentioned maybe renewed international efforts looking at the Amazon fire and deforestation issue. Do you see fires, wildfires in general, being taken up as an international issue that countries are going to talk to each other about in general?
I mean, they're impossible to ignore. I mean, even within Brazil now, there are major protests going on, and so that government has to answer to it. And yeah, now it's an international issue. Now it's coming up in major meetings, and they're going to have to come up with a way to deal with this. Now, the wildfires, of course, are not exclusively the result of climate change, and there are other factors at play here as well. But it is something that is going to put, you know, climate change front and center. That, like, you know, this is something that we do expect more of as average temperatures rise, as weather becomes more extreme, and as we deforest areas, that it's going to further drive the cycle.
Omer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
That's Omer Irfan, a writer who covers climate change, energy, and the environment at Vox. He's also a contributor to Science Friday. You may have heard him there. He was with us today to talk about what's causing wildfires burning around the world right now and the links they have to climate change.